You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 13th of December 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioalbion.com. Well, it's Friday the 13th. It's supposed to be unlucky, but it's not unlucky for us. It is very, very lucky for us because it's Friday, and that means we have Grandpa Lampshade with us today. Grandpa, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you doing?
Doing fine. And it's Friday. You're right. It is Friday. I didn't even realize it was Friday the 13th. Time flies when you're having fun. And it is. It's going to be an unlucky day today because it's going to be an unlucky day for those who promote the evils of the anti-Semitism. And if you're going to combat anti-Semitism, Sven, we've got to go directly to the top. And of course, that means that great purveyor of the hatreds and the anti-Semitism, Donald Trump himself.
The new Hitler, Donald Trump. Yes, he's been accused of being the biggest threat there is to American Jews. And this is right at the same time, don't forget, that he's just signed an executive order stopping universities from allowing the protest groups against Israel, the BDS group, from actually functioning on their universities. So Trump is, I mean, so many times now he has shown his credentials of such a philo-Semite that he is. But this week, it was all to no avail. President Donald Trump has been slammed for saying Jewish people working in real estate are brutal killers who have no choice but to vote for him or lose their wealth. Trump made the remarks at the Israeli-American Council's National Summit in Florida on Saturday night. Well, that's I never thought I would hear him say this, and to what sort of a crowd was he actually saying this to? He was saying this to these Israeli Jews, calling them brutal killers who have no choice but to vote for him or lose their wealth. Never mind the fact that that's actually true. They really don't have any other choice but to vote for him because the Democrats will take their wealth. Isn't that right, Grandpa? What do you make of this?
Well, I'm sitting here stunned because we've been told that, you know, it's also an anti-Semitic trope to imply that people that have dual citizenship might have, you know, loyalties to nations other than America. And yet here he is speaking at the Israeli-American Council National Summit in Florida. You know, I mean, that just, I mean, just the name of it to me implies like there might be like some divided loyalties here. But of course, for the average American, they think Israel's like another state or something. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not like he was trying with this brutal killers. I mean, he was obviously talking about the ruthless business people. Yeah, I mean, for someone like Trump, that's probably a compliment. You know, I mean, one businessman talking to what he perceives as a group of other business people. In this case, he's talking about other real estate people, which is that's where Trump made his money. You know, they're brutal killers. He just means like, you know, they're ruthless business people, which, like I say, coming from him, he probably thought it was a great compliment. But alas, no, it must be once again that anti-Semitism raising its head. Either that or it was like a dog whistle where he was like referring to how Israel bombs Palestinian hospitals and machine guns down, you know, kids because they could be terrorists or something like that. I mean, maybe this is a piece of guilty conscience coming through this reaction. Of course, that would imply a conscience, so I could be wrong. I don't know. What do you think, Sven?
Well, somehow I don't think it's in reference to ritual human sacrifice. So I think, you know, you're quite right there that he's talking about making a killing in business. But it's pretty disingenuous of other Jews to then latch onto this and claim that it's anti-Semitic. I mean, Trump is probably not aware of the all these court cases where the Jews were found guilty of ritually sacrificing children. So it probably was a bit of an unwise choice of phrase to use. But apparently these Jews, these American Israelis, they lapped it up. They thought he was absolutely hilarious. So interestingly enough, why is there complaints from another Jewish quarter with a quite a similar name, actually? If you think this Israeli-American Council's National Summit is where he was, well, the Jewish Democratic Council of America called Trump's speech vile and bigoted and said he was the biggest threat to American Jews. The council added that Trump used anti-Semitic stereotypes to characterize Jews as driven by money and insufficiently loyal to Israel. So what we have here is we have one group of Jews who have invited Donald Trump to come and speak to them because they think he's wonderful, he's their messiah, he's their king, he's, you know, they just think he's amazing. And then you've got these other group of Jews that are calling him the biggest threat there is to America's Jews, and he's vile and he's bigoted and he's using anti-Semitic stereotypes. And I think this plays into this there's like a war going on, or it's not really a war, but there's between the right and the left in Jewry, and it's between the Zionist Jews and it's between the Marxist Jews. And we see this in Britain with these accusations that Jeremy Corbyn is an anti-Semite, and basically it's just because Jeremy Corbyn criticizes Israel. So what you got here is you got Donald Trump, and he's talking to these Israeli Jews who, as I say, they think he's amazing. And yet you've got these other Jews, the Democratic Council Jews, that are just going to call him all the names under the sun. So that's what we've got here, I think, Grandpa, is like a split between the right and the left of Jewry, don't you think?
Isn't it amazing, though? Let's stop for a minute, because we were just talking about how, you know, it's anti-Semitic to suggest that dual citizens might have dual loyalties. We're also told that it's an anti-Semitic stereotype to claim that Jews in America are more loyal to Israel than they are to America. But yet we read this here, and it's apparently also an anti-Semitic stereotype to characterize Jews as insufficiently loyal to Israel. So you're an anti-Semite if you say Jews are more loyal to Israel than America, but you're also an anti-Semite if you say Jews are insufficiently loyal loyal to Israel. So it's just really like, you know, anti-Semite seems to be whatever they want it to mean at the time, because you have this contradiction. Because again, we're told constantly that you can't imply these dual citizens are more loyal to Israel. But yet now they turn around and say, if you're saying they're insufficiently loyal to Israel, then that too is anti-Semitism, which brings us to the inevitable conclusion that pretty much anti-Semitism is anytime any group of Jews, no matter which. I mean, there's going to be a group of them that are going to like what you say, and so thus you will be an anti-Semite. So anytime you say anything that any group of Jews, because I mean, yeah, we often, you know, people often view these Jews as like a monolithic group, but I mean, you're talking about a group, so, you know, obviously they're going to be different little factions within that group. And so anytime you say anything that any part of the group doesn't like, you can, and obviously you will be labeled an anti-Semite.
I mean, this just demonstrates that, you know, beautifully, doesn't it? You know, you got Trump saying that these Jews are insufficiently loyal to Israel. Oh, that's anti-Semitic. And if he says, or if we say that Jews are insufficiently loyal to America, that's anti-Semitic as well. It seems to be that whatever Donald Trump says, the Jewish Democratic Council or the Democrat side of America are going to call him anti-Semitic. And this is while the Jews in Israel are naming annexed territories like the Golan Heights after him and using him in the presidential campaigns for Benjamin Netanyahu because he is loved so much by these Israeli Jews. Trump started his speech by saying that he knew a lot of the people he was addressing well because they were in the real estate business. "You're brutal killers," he said, "but you have to vote for me. You have no choice." Referring to Democratic presidential nominee hopeful, he said, "You're not going to vote for Pocahontas, I can tell you that. You're not going to vote for the wealth tax, even if you don't like me. Some of you don't. Some of you I don't like at all, actually. And you're going to be my biggest supporters because you'll be out of business in about 15 minutes if they, the Democrats, get the presidency. In a video of the speech, some audience members were heard laughing. And I bet the whole audience were cracked up at that and found that really funny. What he was saying there, because it is true, and he's just being honest. I mean, obviously there are going to be people there that he doesn't like, and instead of creeping and crawling and pretending that he loves them all, he's saying, some of you guys I don't like, but you are going to support me because I am the least of the two evils. And I do like the way that he's still calling whatever her name is, Pocahontas, still calling her Pocahontas. I think that's that's very funny. He's always funny when he gives speeches. I think Trump. What do you make of this bit, Grandpa?
Apparently, if you don't like every single individual Jew, then that too is anti-Semitic. Yeah, as you've already pointed out, I mean, where's the lie here? So often, I mean, we've got, this, they've grabbed a hold of it and they're oy veying over it, this anti-Semitism from Trump because he's saying we're insufficiently loyal to Israel. I mean, how would that, I'm still somewhat just taken aback by this. I mean, it's anti-Semitic because he's implying they're insufficiently loyal to Israel. It's one thing I just find really, really tiring, and I think pretty much everybody, even people that aren't politically active, is how much of America was supposed to be American policy, American politics, winds up being centered around Israel. It's just a country, just another. Well, it isn't for any number of incorrect reasons, but in a real normal non-clown world, it would just be another country. I mean, would you imagine like if Italy was the center around every political discussion in your country? Italy was the center around all of your foreign policy. Everybody at the State Department, you had to know what their position on Italy was. Well, it seems nonsensical to say that, but yet here we are, and everything is centered around Israel. Are you sufficiently loyal to Israel? Are you insufficiently loyal? Do you support Israel? Israel. It should just be another country. It should just be another country, but we live in clown world, and yet we're supposed to go around and say these people don't have undue influence over our policy, over our politicians. We're supposed to, because if you point that out, that too, surprise, surprise, is anti-Semitic. But you're supposed to, but yet there it is. It's like the proverbial elephant in the room. Every political discussion, every politician, every foreign policy thing, at some point or another, it winds up being centered around Israel and around what these Jews want. But yet, if you notice, much less if you dare to point it out, it's anti-Semitic. He's sitting here saying, he's sitting here saying, look, y'all don't like me. I don't like some of y'all. But then you're going to vote for me because this lunatic is talking about taxing your wealth to oblivion. Hey, he's not saying, because Jews love the shekels. He's saying that like he's speaking one rich guy to another rich guy. He's like, look, you're going to vote for your pocketbook. You're going to vote for this lady to take all your wealth. It wouldn't matter if he was talking to a room full of non-Jews. He would have made the same speech if he was talking to a group of other rich people. Because it's the truth. You're not going to vote to give all your shekels away to Pocahontas. And but that has to be twisted around into being the hatred that is anti-Semitism in modern America, or really modern clown world.
Well, as well as making out that it's anti-Semitic to say that Jews aren't loyal enough to Israel, apparently it's also white supremacy to be saying that. This prompted outraged tweets, with some calling Pottas out as exercising white supremacy and labelling him anti-Semitic. Rabbi Dania Rutenberg tweeted, "It's not even coded anti-Semitism. It's not a dog whistle. He's saying this out loud to a room full of Jews who laugh. WTF, white supremacy is a hell of a drug." So she's calling all these Jews in there white supremacists. Because they find what Donald Trump is saying funny. It's so bizarre now. They will call blacks white supremacists. They're calling Jews white supremacists here. We've got Jews that are calling other Jews anti-Semites, people like Gilad Atzmon, the various other Jews that are actually supporting the Labour Party. They're being called anti-Semites. I mean, it really does make a mockery of these words. It just highlights it to people that, You know, they don't mean anything at all. They're just ways to try and shut people down. I mean, this rabbi is literally calling a room full of rich Jews white supremacists. What do you make of this, Grandpa?
White supremacist is a term that has no definition. Whenever you see somebody sling it about on the internet or whatever, anytime you stop them and ask them to define what it is, they can't. They might bumble around, you know, and come up with their, but there is no definition for it. There is no actual definition for white supremacist. It means whatever the commie or whatever thinks it means at the time. It's just something to throw at people. It's just another form. If you've been around on the internet for a while debating people or interacting with people, the one thing you noticed about these people, these commies, these leftists, and so often they're Jews, the first go-to tactic is not to point out, dialectically, let me show you where you are incorrect. Look at these figures. No, it's this, what we call disqualify. Your opinion doesn't count. Yeah, and the idea is that the audience shouldn't look at the evidence. They shouldn't look at the factual claims of what you're saying and see if they're true or not. The idea is to just simply disqualify. You can't, your opinions don't count. Nobody should even consider whether what you're saying might be true or not because you are disqualified. And this stupid white supremacist label is one of their go-to ways, like racist, of disqualify. Whenever you see someone throw that out, it means that they don't want to talk about facts. They don't want to talk about evidence. They don't want to have an intellectual or logical discussion. They want to shut you down. They want to disqualify you. Your opinion can't count. Nobody should even consider whether you're saying is true because it doesn't matter if what you're saying is true because you are a white supremacist. And yes, now we're at the point that blacks are being called white supremacists. Jews are being called white supremacists. And this is what happens when terms don't have any real definition. Maybe we should go around and start calling commies white supremacists, regardless of who they are. Pocahontas is a white supremacist because she was using, claiming to be an Indian to get privileges on college, when it came to college stuff. We should since these words don't have any definition, of course, it doesn't work for us. And we don't like doing that anyway. We tend to be people that are wired towards, we'll look at these facts. Well, let's look at the truth here. We tend to be truth tellers. We don't like playing little semantic. I almost said Semitic. We don't like playing little semantic word games. We don't really like doing that. We like pointing at facts, evidence. Well, look, you're all emotional. You're throwing a fit here. But here's the facts of the matter. Here is the truth of the matter. And their go-to method is to appeal to emotion. He's a white supremacist. Don't listen to him. It doesn't matter. I mean, the guy's black. The guy's a Jew. Oh, doesn't matter. They're a white supremacist. They are disqualified. It's just the same old tactic. They don't have any real new tactics in their book, which is good news in the sense that once you learn to spot these tactics and learn what they're going to do, and once you get accustomed to countering those things, I mean, really, you just have to learn to counter a handful of these tactics because that's all they have. I mean, they just go back to them. They repackage them, dress them up a different way. But once you learn to combat them, you get pretty good at this. And so, you realize, they're going with the old standby disqualify tactic. But no, white supremacist has no definition. They'll apply it to blacks. They'll apply it to Jews. It's just a stupid term that means whatever they want it to mean at the time, which always means shut it down.
It used to be called ad hominems. But I guess Pocahontas could be transracial, like Rachel Dolezal. I mean, you don't actually have to have the DNA of the race that you claim to be. You can just transform yourself into them. You can just claim to be this other race. It's, after all, race is just a social category, isn't it? It's nothing biological. And of course, these words, they challenge the whole idea that the left has, that people can just choose to be whatever they are. And like, if you're a homosexual, you're born that way. But if you're a white man, oh no, that's just a cultural category. You just made that up. Well, Rabbi Dania Rutenberg continued, saying the president of the United States is incapable of addressing Jewish audiences without dipping into the deep well of anti-Semitic tropes that shape his worldview. So it's now an anti-Semitic trope to say that Jews are not loyal enough to Israel. Not just Jews are not loyal enough to America, but Jews are not loyal enough to Israel. That's now a trope. And a trope means that it's something that's used all the time. It's been used so much that people are getting tired of it. And this is actually the first time that I've ever heard it actually called that. And it's really seems to be something that only Donald Trump says. So it's really just that anything Donald Trump says, the left are going to call anti-Semitic. The Jewish Democratic Council of America, the JDCA executive director, Haile Swofia, said in a statement, "The president's deeply offensive remarks before the Israeli-American Council, including his unconscionable repeating of negative stereotypes that have been used historically to target Jews, only reinforce our belief and warning in our latest ad that Donald Trump is the biggest threat to American Jews." If he was a big threat to American Jews, why would they be inviting him in to give a big talk to a load of them? I mean, I don't think Donald Trump said, "Hey, let's get these Israeli American Jews together, and I'll put on a big dinner for them, and I'll speak to them." It would have been that they invited him to come and speak to them, and they wouldn't be doing that if Trump was a big threat to American Jews. I mean, this is just like a puppet show that's going on here to keep people to stop people from getting bored or something, some kind of pantomime that they're putting on at Christmas where they pretend that Donald Trump is the big bad guy when in actual fact he's bending over backwards for them. And it's so bizarre here that you've got these two groups, haven't you? The Jewish Democratic Council of America and you've got the Israeli American Council on the other side. And it's just, you know, two sides of the same coin, basically. And they're fighting over this and it's all a load of nonsense. And then the very next day, Trump goes and signs this executive order on anti-Semitism saying that Jews have the same protections as a race, basically. Sort of saying, well, they can be a religion and they can be a race. You know, something that Jews have always used to their advantage, claiming one minute that they're a religion and the next minute that they're a race. And now Donald Trump has used an executive order to actually put that into law. So, you know, all of this is just nonsense that they are throwing at him. He continues, "We strongly denounce these vile and bigoted remarks in which the president once again used anti-Semitic stereotypes to characterize Jews as driven by money and insufficiently loyal to Israel. He even had the audacity to suggest that Jews have no choice but to support him." So look, he's saying there that it's an anti-Semitic stereotype to claim Jews are insufficiently loyal to Israel. This is the first time that I've actually seen that, I think, Grandpa. Have you come across it before?
Historically, stereotypes. That's just, as somebody who kind of, you know, is a history buff, I don't claim to be an expert on history like Dr. Johnson or something, but as a bit of a history buff, you know, I just got hung up on this thing, you know, stereotypes that have been historically used to target Jews. So the stereotypes throughout history that have been used to target Jews is that Jews are insufficiently loyal to another country. I mean, how does that even make any sense? Even to somebody that just has just an elementary knowledge of history, if somebody, let's say somebody just 100% believes that, you know, Hitler was the worst person on the face of the earth and the Holocaust, every aspect, 6 million gas chambers, pedal powered skull smashing machines, roller coasters into the, I believe every aspect of it. They would have to read this and go, wait a minute. So one of Hitler's complaints against the Jews is that they were insufficiently loyal to another country outside of Germany. This is so nonsensical on its face. I mean, I don't even understand how they think that's supposed to hold any water with anybody. And of course, anytime you see these news stories, I see this now, this is a trend now. Over the years, they have banned everybody off of Twitter. Anybody to the right of Stalin has pretty much been banned from Twitter. And now that that has pretty much been accomplished, now that that is a thing, you notice now that tweets, outraged tweets, are news stories. You'll click on certain news stories, and it's like the story is like the writer, the quote-unquote journalist, writes one paragraph. And then the whole thing, they're just copy pasting people's tweets into the news story. Is it like just, and not even like people of political power, just rando ass people off of Twitter, you know, obviously leftist, because that's all that's left there pretty much. That's the news story. That is so funny. And yeah, as you pointed out, this whole thing, Trump comes around then in his horrible rage of apparent anti-Semitism and signs this thing, this executive order about, you know, giving, you know, making sure the Jews can't be criticized on college campuses, because we all know college campuses are the hotbed of anti-Semitism. And of course, they were talking about this, and they never tell us what these anti-Semitic incidents on college campuses are. I'm assuming the vast majority of them are on this divest, you know, boycott and divest from Israel movement, which is a, by and large, a kind of a leftist movement. So, you know, other than that, as far as from the right, the most I can think of is somebody had the audacity to put up some "it's okay to be white" stickers or something. Beyond that, I don't know what this deluge of anti-Semitism on college campuses he's fighting against with this executive order would be amount to. And I recall sometime back there was a lawsuit because, like in Harvard, I believe, some of these Ivy League schools, Asians were suing because they're scoring better on the test and they're being passed over to admissions for these other people, a significant amount being Jews, when they didn't score as high as the Asians if the Asians didn't get in. But Trump goes out and signs an executive order because the Jews are, I guess, being mistreated with anti-Semitism on college campuses. And it doesn't matter. That's the thing. It's like Trump is a masochist or something. It doesn't matter what he does for these people. It doesn't matter how much he sucks up to these people. Doesn't matter what. They're 2% of the population. If Trump got every single Jewish vote in the country, it's not really going to sway the election one way or the other. I guess it could possibly sway the money in the election, but then again, maybe that too is an anti-Semitic trope.
I think they'd still be calling him an anti-Semite. And it's not just that, you know, they're saying it's anti-Semitic to say that Jews are insufficiently loyal to another country. I mean, what they're saying is it's an anti-Semitic trope to say that Jews are insufficiently loyal to other Jews. And I mean, we say the opposite of that all the time, that Jews are loyal to other Jews, but apparently it's anti-Semitic to say they're not loyal enough to other Jews. I don't know quite how much loyalty we are expected to expect from Jews, but this Jewish Democratic Council of America executive director is actually Haley Seufer, a very apt name, Seufer. She continues, "American Jews do have a choice, and they're not choosing President Trump or the Republican Party, which has been complicit in enacting his hateful agenda." Well, I would question that, because Trump is actually speaking to a huge, great room full of American Jews, and they are choosing him. In fact, Jewish support for the GOP has been halved since Trump has been in office, from 33% in 2014 to 17% in 2018, because Trump's policies and rhetoric are completely antithetical to Jewish values. "An overwhelming majority of Jews are both pro-Israel and anti-Trump because of his incendiary rhetoric targeting our community and others, and because his symbolic gestures on Israel have not made America or Israel more secure." Seufer added that American Jews also reject Trump because he's emboldened the rise of white nationalism in America, which has directly led to increased hatred and violence targeting Jews. I thought Trump had completely distanced himself from white nationalism. I thought he'd said that he's not a white nationalist, and I thought he was bending over backwards for Jews all the time. Apparently not. And I would question these figures that she brings up here, where she says it's dropped from 33% in 2014 to 17% in 2018, because, you know, Trump was on the election trail, I believe, in 2017. And he was saying a lot of good things back then. So these Jews probably did leave him. But since then, he's come into office and he's done all these things for Israel, like breaking apart the Iran deal, for a start, recognizing the Golan Heights as being Jewish, recognizing Jerusalem as being the capital of the Jews instead of it being the capital of Palestine. This new executive order that he's just done, I believe, didn't he send a load of money over for a world investigation into how much anti-Semitism there was in the world as well? I mean, all these sort of things he keeps doing for them, and yet he still gets all these attacks in the press from these left-wing Jews. I should imagine, actually, in Israel, he probably just gets, you know, positive press, lots and lots of positive press, I would imagine. But, you know, maybe even that's not true. I mean, maybe he's just doing this to both the right and the left wing Jews, and they're just completely ignoring him totally. But he won't learn from it. He will continue to do this. What do you make of this, Grandpa? Trump has emboldened the rise of white nationalism in America.
Yeah, let's look at the numbers from the high end then. You know, she's claiming that his support from Jews has plummeted from 33% to 17%. Well, let's just discount that and go to the high end, 33%. So now we're talking about all of this trouble for 33% of 2% of the population. You're talking now far below 1% of the population. But yet everybody, this is who it's centered on. You know, I mean, blacks are 13%, roughly 13% of the American population. You, I mean, at least when he's, you know, releasing blacks from prison and reaching out to the black community, or at least you can say, well, I guess he's thinking he's going to scalp some of that 13% of the votes. I mean, number wise, I guess that makes a little bit of sense. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I can logically put something together to justify that. But we're talking 33% of 2% of the population. Just numerically speaking, it's insignificant. It's absolutely insignificant. But yet again, all of this is centered around this tiny group of people. But if you point out, then that implies that these people wield a whole lot of power in our nations. That too is anti-Semitic. I love how she also says his insignificant gestures on Israel. We send billions of dollars to this foreign country without basically any real, what are we getting in return for it? Billions of dollars of our money every year. But that's insignificant. It doesn't even count. So why are we doing it? If it's insignificant, let's stop. Well, but that would be a evil and anti-Semitic as well. No, they're blaming Trump for this because they need some kind of, I mean, the fact of the matter is, white nationalism, white supremacy, these are just things that are thrown around out there. These people seem incapable of reflecting on, hey, maybe it's something that we're doing. Maybe we should stop doubling down on this stuff that's really making everybody hate us, that 109 plus times throughout history has gotten us booted out of countries. Maybe we should stop doing that. No, it must be because of Trump. You know, of course, Trump wasn't around the 109 other times you got booted out, but never mind. It's Trump now. You know, what we're really talking about is a rise in nationalism. If it's in a predominantly white country, then yeah, I mean, you could say it's white nationalism. That's no more evil than if you were talking about China and talking about Chinese nationalism. Well, yeah, what other kind of nationalism would it be? It's China. Of course, it's going to be Chinese nationalism. If it was in Nigeria, it wouldn't sound hateful or evil to talk about Nigerian nationalism. It'd be like, well, no duh, it's Nigeria. Of course, it's going to be Nigerian nationalism. Yeah, it's, but yet, if it's in a predominantly white country, it's white nationalism. And so that is somehow evil. And you're supposed to have this knee-jerk, emotional, programmed reaction to it. And it's sad that how often it works. You know, you're on the internet, you're on social media, and you see how it works. Even people that support Trump and they, you know, they have this tidbit of awareness that their country's going to hell in a handbasket. But it's, you know, and they themselves claim to be nationalists. If somebody throws the white nationalist label at them, watch them recoil, watch them start running away. And oh, no, I'm not one of those white nationalists, because that's the same as a white supremacist. Well, according to who? According to the very people that you claim to disagree with, according to the very people that you claim are attacking you without cause, but yet you surrender those terms. Because in white nation, see, your white nation is an idea. America's an idea. We don't actually have a nation. In fact, apparently this also applies to Europe, Britain, other formerly, we thought, white countries. Your countries are an idea. Your countries don't actually have any kind of racial component that makes them different, diverse, dare I say, from other nations. No, you know, your countries are just kind of a vague, undefined entity that has borders that really need to be eliminated altogether, because those borders are racist as well. You know, so yeah, if it's any other country and they have nationalism, that's fine. But if it's a white country and you talk about white nationalism, that's racist and evil. It really gets to the point that it doesn't matter what he does for this tiny segment of the population. He's going to be attacked. He's going to be called an anti-Semite. And really, if that applies to him, doesn't it apply to everybody else? If you are a nationalist and you bend over back, no matter how much you bend over backwards, not to be lumped in with those white nationalists. I'm an American patriot. I am an American nationalist. I'm not one of those evil white supremacists. You're going to be an evil white supremacist. You're going to be labeled these things. You're going to be evil. You're going to be racist. You're going to be an anti-Semite. I mean, they're doing it to Trump. Would they not also do this to you? And yet these people just like, oh, this will happen to me. People won't call me these names because I'm going to make sure they understand I ain't with those evil neon Nazi white supremacists, even though nobody can seem to define those terms. But it seems this rhetoric, sadly, seems to work. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much you bend over backwards. It doesn't matter how much Trump bends over backwards to appease him. And it won't matter how much everybody else bends over to appease this tiny segment of the population that for some odd reason wields all this power in our government over our politicians and our foreign policy. It doesn't matter. You'll always be an anti-Semite, and everything, all the ills of the world are always going to be your fault.
Well, it does, you know, actually show that they have all this power, doesn't it? If they actually make up less than 1%, and there's all this fuss about it, and Trump is so desperate to appease them, then there must be something other to it than just their numbers and just their numbers voting. So it does prove everything that we say about the amount of power that they have. All this media coverage that they get, and this song and dance that they make about anti-Semitism. Well, elsewhere in his speech, Trump appeared to claim American Jews don't love Israel enough. He said, "We have to get the people of our country, of this country, to love Israel more. I have to tell you that. We have to do it. We have to get them to love Israel more," Trump said at the summit to some scattered applause. "Because you have Jewish people that are great people, but they don't love Israel enough." How can they call him an anti-Semite when he's berating this crowd that people need to love Israel more? It's just absolutely beyond me that they can call him an anti-Semite. And this actual room of Jews that he was talking to, this Israeli American council, is actually financially backed by one of Trump's top supporters, Miriam and her husband Sheldon Adelson, a Jewish Las Vegas casino magnate. So this group, this is Trump's top supporters here, are Jews, and yet he's been accused by these other Jews of being an anti-Semite. The Adelsons actually donated $30 billion to Trump's campaign in the final months of the 2016 race, and they followed up by donating $100 million to the Republican Party for the 2018 congressional elections. So it's not like the Jews are against him. You know, the Jews support him. The right-wing Jews support him, that is. It's the left-wing Jews that don't. And this story has been going on for at least the last 400 years. I mean, I've mentioned this before. Reuchlin and Pfefferkorn. Reuchlin was a Talmudic Jew, and Pfefferkorn was a Converso Jew. And about 300 or 400 years ago, everything that was being talked about was all the news was just centered around these two. And one of them was trying to expose the Talmud, and the other one was trying to say, well, no, the Talmud is fine. And this is where we get all our masonry from, and the Kabbalah, and it's all wonderful and it's all good. And this other Converso Jew was trying to expose the Talmud and saying that it was all bad. So, you know, even back then you had right-wing Jews against left-wing Jews, and that was all that the politics was about. That was all that anybody was concentrating on, when, you know, we need to be talking about our own problems, and we need to be talking about what's best for America, not what's best for Israel. I mean, this whole news story here just highlights the flaws in the American system and the way that the America is occupied by this pro-Zionist government, this pro-Jewish government, and this idea that they're actually anti-Jewish or anti-Semitic is just absolutely ridiculous. The more news stories that come out like this, the more people wake up to it, the more people join us, and the more people can see the hypocrisy in all of this, and they become nationalists. Anyway, Grandpa, thank you very much for coming on today. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.